Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, Ambarish Maharaj offended by Durvasa Muni, Text 28. Tasmad adadarish chakram pratyantika payavaham ekanta bhakti bhavena prito bhakta Virakshanam Tasmai unto him Ambarisha Maharaj Adat gave Hari the Supreme Personality of Godhead Chakram his disc Pratyanika Baya Avaham the Lord's disc, which was extremely fearful to the enemies of the Lord and his devotees. Somehow or another, they put, I don't know if they're exactly correct. And I'm sure it was fearful to the enemies of the Lord, but I don't know if it was actually fearful to his devotees. Ekanta bhakti bhavena. Because of his performing unalloyed devotional service. Pritaha. The Lord being so pleased. Bhakta abhirakshanam. For the protection of his devotees. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Being very pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Maharaj Ambarisha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave the king his disc, which is fearful to enemies, and which always protects the devotees from enemies and adversities. Purport, a devotee being always engaged in the service of the Lord may not be expert at self-defense. But because the devotee fully depends on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is always sure of protection by the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj said, Naivo dvijaye paradharatya vaitaranyas tva virya gaina mahamrita magni chitak so che vimukha chetasa indriyartam maya sukhayam varam udvatam vimudan. A devotee is always merged in the ocean of transcendental bliss of rendering service to the Lord. Therefore, he is not at all attracted to any adverse situation in the material world. Therefore, he is not at all afraid of any adverse situation in the material world. The Lord also promises, Kuntiya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. O Arjuna, may declare to the world that the devotee of the Lord, the devotees of the Lord are never vanquished. For the protection of the devotees, Krishna's disc, the Sudarsan chakra is always ready. This disc is extremely fearful to the non-devotees, Pratyanika Bhayavaham. Therefore, although Maharaj Ambarish was fully engaged in devotional service, his kingdom was free from all fear of adversity. Text again. Tasma adadarish chakram pratyanika bhayavaham ekanta bhakti bhavena prito bhakta virakshanam. Being very pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Maharaj Ambarisha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave the king his disc, which is fearful to enemies, which always protects the devotee from enemies and adversities. It is said that fear is the number one suffering of the material world. And fear arises from our not realizing who we actually are. And because we don't realize who we are, we think ourselves to be something that we're not. So this is one of the miseries of material life, beginning with avidya, ignorance. We don't know things as they actually are. And then we're trained up, asmita, with a false ego, thinking that we're this body, and things in relation to this body belong to us. And since we think we're this body, we're afraid that this body might get annihilated. And the things that are related to us will be taken away. So those are all inevitable. Therefore, one doesn't still, paśyānapi na paśyati, by the mercy of the illusory energy, we're all given the opportunity to put our heads in the sand and say, it's not going to happen to me. I'm going to stay here forever and ever and ever. I'm going to, in the fairy tales of America, they had Peter Pan and Twinklebell living in Never Never Land. But unfortunately, Never Never Land was never a land. Therefore, anyone never lived in Never Never Land. Nor in the future will anyone, the only Never Never Land is Goloka Vrindavan and Vaikuntha. And there's no Peter Pan there. Nor is there a Twinklebell. But there are a lot of liberated souls there. And they're all free from fear because they understand things as they actually are. And therefore, they have no false ego. And because they have no false ego, and they don't identify themselves either with the gross or subtle material body, they have no attachments and aversions. And because they have no attachments and aversions, therefore they have no fears. They're not absorbed in material energy, and therefore they have no fear. Abhinivesita means that as soon as we're absorbed in identifying ourselves with this body, then material nature gifts us with fear. It's not that we have to create fear or we created the fear. No, material nature bestows upon us as a benediction fear. And what is that fear? One of the fears is that we don't know where we're going after we're leaving this body. And, of course, we have experienced the material world. We're not the only species of life. There are trees, especially here in Slovenia. There are many trees. And there are also, as Prabhupada used to say, there are also Slovenian citizens. They're permanently staying here. They don't even need a passport. They don't have an ID. They don't need any social welfare. They're ideal citizens. They donate things to the society, but they don't get anything in return. But neha bikramana nashosti pradyavanayo navidyate swapam apyasti dharmasya trayate mahatobayat. Then in this path, there's no loss of diminution, and even the greatest, even the little advancement can protect one from the greatest danger. So what's the greatest danger? That we're going to go into the park and some tick is going to sting us, and we might die? That's really not a problem, because we're going to die anyhow. The problem is, when we make the wrong decisions, we come back as a tick. That's a problem. So it's not that by accident we just come back as a tick or a dog or a demigod. It's according to the choices we make at the present moment. We go in a certain direction, that's where we'll wind up. And we go in another direction, that's where we'll wind up. So what's the direction? Mahajano yena katasa panta. We have to choose someone as our guide and then follow them. Follow their instructions. And their instructions, as Narada Muni explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto, Narada Muni, when he was speaking to Srila Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva was lamenting. Not exactly in the same way that we lament. or a conditioned soul laments, because he was a liberated soul, he couldn't understand why, after compiling all the Vedic literature, he still wasn't satisfied, although he was situated in Brahman realization. So Narada Muni explained his history, how he had heard from the Bhaktivedantas during the rainy season, and how he had taken the prasadam, and therefore he became attracted to them, and then they trained him up in devotional service during the rainy season, and then he went, after his mother was bitten by a snake, he went traveling, seeing the world and fixing his mind upon Krishna. And then one time, sitting in meditation, Krishna revealed himself in the core of his heart, and he became became completely enlivened in transcendental ecstasy, and therefore spent the rest of his time absorbing himself more and more in devotional service. So there's a process. It's not that we wake up one day and we become fully self-realized. We have to take it one step at a time. And that one step is explained in so many different ways. If we want to get free from fear, then anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshisya titi vishvaso bhaktrive. Anukulyasya sankalpe pratikulyasya varjanam rakshisya titi vishvaso bhaktrive. That's not right. Koptrive. Varnam tata. Rakshisya titi vishva. Atma nikshepa sankalpe. Shadvida sharanagati. Koptrive. So to be feeling oneself protected by Krishna. So first, if we want to get free from fear, we have to accept things which are favorable. Of course, our mind will, because everyone in this material world, as Prabhupada used to say, we're all ghostly haunted. So if there was only us in our mind, things wouldn't be so bad. But we have so many, either real or imagined living entities with us, keep on talking to us, preaching to us. Oh, you don't feel like doing that. If you don't feel like doing it, do what you feel like doing. Don't torture yourself. Oh, you don't want to go to class? Well, go to sleep. You have your free will. So, mind, thinking, feeling, willing, we have our ghostly haunted mind, which sometimes is actually living entity speaking to us, telling us, don't do it, and then giving us the feeling. Why should you do that? There are so many nicer things to do. You could feel much better if you do this. And then we don't do what we're supposed to do. We do something else. And then we wind up either hankering to do the same thing or lamenting the fact that we did it. Therefore, first thing is to accept things which are favorable, and try to do them in such a way is that you actually become attracted to them, that they become satisfied. Not that it's time to go to Mangalarti. I don't want to go, the mind says. And we say, yeah, I agree with you. I don't want to go either. You poor thing. Yes, I know I'm being tortured. It's those leaders. They're the ones who are doing it. They're making me feel bad. They actually enjoy when they see me suffering. Well, I'm not going to make them. I'm not going to let them be happy by seeing me suffer. I'm not going. You're a good person for not going. Yes, I know. So So Maya will speak to us. She'll absorb it into a certain feeling, usually in the modes of ignorance and passion. Once in a while, even goodness. And we'll wind up doing whatever material nature directs us to do, rather than what the spiritual nature wants us to do. So, anukulyasya sankalpe, then one has to get practice in developing good spiritual habits. That's called sadhana. And when one is doing good spiritual habits, mangalarati, that's why we have a program. That's the advantage of living in the temple. It's even if you lived underneath a tree, like Dhruva Maharaj was not living in a temple, but he had very good spiritual habits. He was chanting Om Namo Bhagavate constantly. He was worshiping his deity that he himself personally made out of the clay from Vrindavan. He bathed in the Jamuna, and he meditated on Krishna. He had excellent sadhana. And there was no temple. He was the pujari. There wasn't even very good prasadam, unless you liked eating leaves that fall from the tree. Still, he became attracted to Krishna consciousness by such sadhana, and then pratikulyasya varjanam. Then he was able to give up unwanted habits, unwanted thoughts. Even, of course, he was exceptional. He gave up unwanted sense enjoyment. He thought, eating this kapita fruit, I'm enjoying too much, so let me just drink water every third day, or let me eat the leaves that fall from the tree. And then after another month, he thought, well, this is too much sense gratification. It's distracting me from devotional service. Let me just take some water every ninth day. And then he thought, this is too much also. I'm just enjoying this water too much. It's distracting me from thinking about Krishna. So he just took a breath of air every 12th day. And concentrated. He wasn't just stopping his breathing and having people take snapshots for his Facebook page, telling people, yeah, just look at me. One breath every 12th day. 50,000 likes. I'm doing pretty good. No, he's all alone in the jungle. No one was watching him except for Krishna, who he's focusing his attention on. And because he focused his attention on Krishna, he realized that he was eternal and that he has an eternal relation with Krishna. And that Gop Drivei Varnam Tata. He knew that Krishna was giving him the power, the intelligence, the spiritual energy that he was absorbed in, that he didn't have to worry about anything. He was eternal. As long as he was fully Krishna conscious, there was no fear, there was no anxiety, there was nothing, because he was living in the spiritual level of consciousness. And therefore, he knew that Krishna would, as long as he was concentrating his mind upon Krishna, Krishna would give him all spiritual help. He was existing in a world of transcendental pleasure, like Prahlad Maharaj, full of Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes. He was living in the spiritual world, and therefore he wasn't worried about what was going on in the material world. And he knew whatever he needed, Krishna supplied, because he didn't need anything practically anymore. He just needed Krishna. And then Atma Nishepa Sankalpe, then he felt he had no other interest except for Krishna's interest. Because as long as he was thinking about Krishna, he was completely satisfied. And Atma Nishepa Sankalpe Shadvida Sharanagarati. And therefore he always felt himself to be dependent upon Krishna, in love with Krishna, and therefore always meek and humble. So that's the path of fearlessness. And of course, luckily, we're not told that that's the only methodology in terms of what, practically speaking, what Dhruva Maharaj did, because we couldn't do anything like that. We're just lucky we got through Bhima Ekadasi. And we're still in the same body. we don't have, you know, 180 Bhima codices in a row. Next week is our 180 Bhima codice, consecutive Bhima codice we're going to practice. And you wake up, there's no one in the temple. And you're not in the temple either. So, therefore, bhayam dvitiya bhinivesitasya isharabhitasya viparyosmiti yan mayato buddha abhideta tvam bhaktiyaika yesham buddha devatatma, guru devatatma. That bhayam, this fear that with this body and what's going to happen to me, is the virus going to kill me? Are they going to starve me to death? What about the economic crisis? Is the war in Ukraine going to hit Slovenia? Oh, from Russia with love. So, everyone's fearful. And modern society, the leaders of modern society, they actually want people to become more and more fearful so they can take shelter of them. Because when we're fearful, then we start taking shelter of something. So they want people to become more and more fearful, and therefore if we're unfortunate enough to read the newspapers or go on the internet, all you can do is become fearful. There's no good news. At least from, there's no radio station, newspaper telling you the good news. You're eternal, Krishna is eternal, you have an eternal relationship with Krishna. Don't worry, masuchaha. How many times, if you go on the internet, you hear the words masuchaha, don't worry. So, bhayam dvitiya bhinivesitasyat. Dviti means we think that there's something other than Krishna. We think there's some other controller, there's something else. Something's happening outside of Krishna's control. Krishna's asleep and Maya has taken over. The devil has taken over. The old man has gotten senile, can't figure out what's going on, and the devil is young and fresh and he's just directing everything. And therefore, we have good reason to be fear because the devil is in control now. No, Krishna is always in control. But when we think he's not in control, then we think things there's something separate from Krishna. Abhivineshita, and we become absorbed in that conception. Abhivineshita syat, that there's something apart from Krishna. We have our ignorance, we have our false ego, we have our attachments and aversions, and we have our absorptions. And thinking that something else is going on outside of Krishna consciousness. Syat, in this way. Vaya dvitiya bhinashita syat ishad apatasya viparyo smriti. And we reverse our roles. Instead of becoming the servant of Krishna and his devotees, we become their competitors. Everyone is competing with each other to become special. To get the resources to maintain my deity, the body that I'm in, to put forward make sure my mind is satisfied by whatever concoction it comes up with, and to have my ideas put forward as reality that everyone has to surrender to. So we reverse our roles. Instead of finding out from Krishna how he wants us to see things, how he wants us to do things, we try to make arrangements in the material world according to how we see things, how we want to do things. Vipari of Smriti. And then we ask Smriti, there's no way we're going to find out who we actually are. Naham prakasha sarvasha yogamaya samavrita. As soon as we're in that mood, then Krishna covers us with illusion. And how do we know we're an illusion? Because we think we're this body. We think we're this mind. Or we think these are my ideas. And yan mayateyo buddha abhadeto tvam, if we want to get out of this maya, out of thinking ourselves be supreme, then abhuddha, we have to perform service to Krishna. Abhijeta tvam, to him, to the Supreme Lord, abhijeta, service, Buddha, a person who is intelligent, who has intelligence, abhijeta, he performs service. He comes to the temple and chants Hare Krishna. That's an intelligent person. Everyone else is a fool and a rascal. Bhaktiyai, bhaktiyai vishetha, Guru Deva Tatma, bhaktiya, and by service, by bhakti, Isha to his Supreme Lord, Eka, absorption, only one, by Guru Deva Tatma, by following the gurus, by following the example of those who are trying to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, or absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Follow the example of those who go into the temple rather than going away from the temple. The more one is addicted to Krishna, then one should follow those examples of those who are addicted to Krishna. Then one will gradually become Krishna conscious. We can't follow Dhruva Maharaj, and therefore Prabhupada has given us a much easier methodology rather than fasting from food, from leaves, from fruit, from leaves, from water, from air. Try fasting for air. Today is Bhima Ekadasi. No food, no water, and no air. If you can do that, you really are following strictly Bhima Ekadasi. And you can only focus your mind upon Krishna. Then you're definitely you get all the results of Bhima Ekadasi. But who can do that? We can't do that. Therefore, Prabhupada has given us, as Srila Rupa Goswami has given us, five powerful processes to do the same thing, to accomplish the same thing that Dhruva Maharaj did. By chanting Hare Krishna, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, by worshipping the deities, by serving the devotees, and by living in a holy place, or making places holy by going out and distributing books and chanting Hare Krishna and distributing prasadam. We can turn unholy places into holy places by distributing Krishna consciousness there. So that's our method. And if we do that, and we do that practically, and we avoid the things that are taking away our minds away from Krishna, if one is addicted, for instance, reading some magazine, then just make it hard to read the magazine. Put it in some far distant place. So you have to make a real effort. And since we're generally so lazy anyhow, if we put the magazine someplace, it takes a big effort to get it. It was, all right, it's too far away. I'll read the Bhagavatam today. So we should try to practice good habits and make the bad habits, put them away, make them difficult to do. If you can't get up in the morning, you have the opportunity. Because as soon as your alarm clock is there, as soon as it rings, you turn it off. Then put the alarm clock halfway across the room. So you have to get up to turn the alarm clock off. And you think, oh my God, I'm up already, might as well stay up. I've gotten off the bed, my biggest attachment in the world is to the bed. I peeled myself off the bed, now I'm free. So one has to use their intelligence, how to do the right thing and avoid the wrong thing, and then we'll make progress. We'll get more and more into the right thing and less into the wrong thing. And then our fears will go away. Because we'll conquer Maya. We'll see, actually I'm using my intelligence. Krishna's giving me the intelligence how to conquer Maya, and I'm using it, therefore I know I'm going back to the spiritual world eventually if I just continue on with that process. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Thank you for inspiring lecture. I would just like to ask, when you mentioned that we should search for devotees who are inspired in their service, who are so I would just like to ask, what are the principles of associating with these devotees so that we would also get some of their good qualities?
Well, the first thing is to see what the good qualities are. And also you can see what the bad qualities are, but choose to follow the good qualities rather than the bad ones. It's not that we can. Generally, when we come to the temple, or even we associate with devotees on the outside, they seem like angels until we get to know them. Then we start realizing they have one wing in the spiritual world and one wing in the material world. So we have to try to see which wing is in the spiritual world and try to follow that wing. Then we'll and the other wing, we say, all right, you know, I also have a couple of wings in the material world too. What to do, you know, try and get out of the material world. The worst thing to do is to start absorbing our minds and, I thought you were a pure devotee, but now I know you're a demon. You're a pretender, I have to purify you. I have to go ahead and proclaim to the world that the Hare Krishna members are just a bunch of hypocrites, that they're actually demons in disguise, that there's only one devotee, that Krishna is giving you intelligence, it's me. Because I can see the falsity of everyone else, therefore I must be pure. So Maya will try and trick us in so many different ways, but Rupa Goswami advises us to respect devotees within the mind who are chanting Hare Krishna, but don't associate with those who are not so strict in their following the principles. And associate with devotees who are following the instructions of the superior authorities or trying to make a spiritual advancement. And they may not be perfect, but at least they're trying to become perfect. And if I associate with them, then I'll try and become perfect too. Anything else?
Avaduta Raya Prabhu has a question. In Srimad Bhagavatam 7.6.19, Prahlad says, Nahyachutam Prinayato Bhav Ayasah. There is no much endeavor needed to satisfy the Supreme Lord. From other side, Srila Prabhupada says, first hard work, then samadhi. Question, how to reconcile these opposing statements?
What was the first statement?
The first statement was, there is no much endeavor needed to satisfy the Supreme Lord.
Well, I think we can't take things out of context. There's not much endeavor to satisfy. Of course, there's a lot of endeavor to satisfy Krishna. Krishna may be satisfied if we offer, to some, he's always satisfied. It's not that he's waiting for us to satisfy him. It's not that finally I got to leave today. Now I don't feel so bad. No, Krishna is always in unlimited ecstasy and bliss. So, but if we try to do a little something, then Krishna is pleased that this poor soul who's living in hell is making little progress. So I feel a little bit better, that at least for him. But that's not the highest state of consciousness, just to do something. But when one becomes a pure devotee, has spontaneous love, then one doesn't have to do very much to please Krishna. Simply the loving feelings that one have pleases Krishna. But to get to that stage, we have to go through the process of purification, which requires to do something. At least hear about Krishna regularly, if not chant about Krishna, remember Krishna. There are 9 processes of devotional service. And it requires effort to do those until one comes to the transcendental stage. It's like if your train's going along and you have a bicycle, you're trying to catch the train. So the train's going, you're just a little slower than your bicycle. Then finally you catch up to the train after great endeavor, and then you catch onto the train and the train takes you. There's no more endeavor because you're just riding the train. So in the beginning there's effort required, and when you catch up to spontaneous devotional service, then it becomes free and spontaneous and effortless out of pure love. But in order to get to that platform, some work has to be done. Anything else? Kuala Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.